So, welcome all of you to Wednesday Sutta discussion session. Actually, for some of you, it is Tuesday night, and we were discussing several suttas here in order to get some insights from the Buddha's teaching, especially to our practice. Therefore, we are trying to get some selectively. We are taking certain suttas so that we can get various insights to our practice. So far, we have discussed Sabbasava Sutta and Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, which are more relevant to our practice. And now we are discussing another sutta from Majjhima Nikaya. Actually, all three suttas so far we were discussing are from Majjhima Nikaya. And now, in this sutta, Mulapariyaya Sutta, Buddha was residing at Ukkatha. That was the city name, and the place is called Subhaga. It's a kind of a, seems to be kind of a garden or a forest named as Subhaga. And at that time, Buddha himself is taking the title or the sort of a topic to discuss, and then directly tell monks that he's going to discuss about the arising of everything, or the root of everything, and he's requesting others to listen carefully. And now, this is how it is starting. And if we analyze the sutta, this contains the whole sutta is somewhat organized around 24 concepts. So, these 24 concepts are, we can say, very much like samples from the whole universe. For the whole experience, we'll say the human experience, within the whole human experience applied to the whole universe, Buddha has taken certain samples. So by analyzing these, we can say we can attribute it to something else as well. So they are very much like through the inferential knowledge, we can think what was the Buddha's view or the proper view. To another thing which is not in the list but fairly comparable to the one or two items available in the list. So we've discussed, I mean, just to summarize, there are four items which are somewhat used to us. Those are the four elements: earth, water, fire, and air. And that basically represents the whole physical aspect of the whole universe. And then, in general, it is mentioned about beings. There we can say hell realms and the human realms. So whoever the beings they are, we can include to this category. And then gods, there are various celestial beings are available in the six celestial realms. So last time we discussed about that universal view of the Dhamma. I mean, kind of a universal view is presented in the Dhamma. That also we have discussed. And so the gods include those six celestial beings, six types of celestial beings available in all these six celestial realms. And then Pajapati is the creator gods of the Brahmanism. So there we can say we can include whoever is the god. People are believing, thinking that he is the universal god, he is the creator god. So there we can include. We can categorize here. And then Brahma, so that represents the whole realm of the Brahmas, that is 16 Rupavachara Brahma realms, that is the 16 material Brahma realms we can generally consider. And then actually, there are several levels included here, depending on the level of their achievement, level of their attainment. So when Brahma is considered, it is mentioned for the first jhana level Brahma realms, and then Abhasara represent the second jhana level Brahma realms, and the third jhana level Brahma realms are mentioned through Subhakinha. And then Vehappala comes as the fourth jhana level, And then Abibu comes under the overlord. So that is also somewhat relevant to the fourth jhana level. And we can have a little doubt here. Probably it could be Abhi, not Abibu. But anyway, it is representing the realms of the Brahmas. And then it is going into the four levels of the Arupa Jhana, where Arupavachara Brahma realms are considered, where the infinite space, infinite consciousness, base of nothingness, and the neither perception nor non-perception. And they are the four realms of the immaterial Brahma realms. And the typical experience is included as seen, heard, sensed, and cognized. And there are certain beliefs among the people that they become one with some omniscient thing or omniscient power. So it is called ekatta, or sometimes they call there's a kind of a diversity, so that is called nanatta. And in general, one consider everything, that is all, sabba. And interestingly, Nibbana is also included in this list. Now there are 24 lists, 24 concepts, and how these 24 concepts are being perceived by different category of people. So that is the sort of structure of this sutta. And Buddha is explaining how these 24 concepts are being perceived by different types of people. So we are now discussing the first category, that is the untaught ordinary person, Putujjana, Asutava Putujjana. So there we have discussed how a person is perceiving the whole experience. Last time we have taken only one example where he is perceiving a chair that is more or less represent the Patavi Dhatu, the earth element. We can consider the majority of the air is consisting of earth elements. Sorry, majority of the chair is consisting of earth element. Therefore, we can consider how a person perceives a chair. So we can sort of simplify the view. So we have the object, that is the chair, and then there's a person, that is the subject, and how he relate to this chair. So that is where the sort of interesting part happens here. So there are various likes and dislikes coming to the picture because of this relationship. So the typical level of recognition is the recognition that this is a chair. That is in a way not a wrong recognition, because if one see a chair, so immediately he can distinguish it from a table, it from another furniture, and he clearly recognize this is a chair. Now, so that is in a way kind of a perverted view, because he don't know much about the very subtle aspects of this object, and he directly recognize perceives this as a chair according to his own preconceived ideas, his own perception. Now we typically tell it as a sanya vipallasa. So immediately when he consider this is a chair, he recognize this is a chair. So if he was in search of a chair, then immediately there could be a sort of a delight, happiness arising himself, because he was searching a chair and now he found the perfect match what he was searching, and there may be a sort of a delight arising in his mind. So the relationship is different, where how he relate to this chair. So this person has a perverted view that there's a kind of a satisfaction, happiness can be taken, can be experienced through this chair, so he is delighted. And on the other hand, he considers it may last for a long time, and it is permanent, and I can have it, I can keep it under my control, I can own it, I can possess it. So likewise, he has the various relationships. He relate to this chair in many different ways. Now, if we consider something else, suppose we are getting to now this person is very thirsty, and now he's going to a kind of a cafeteria, and there he found a fruit juice, suppose orange juice. Now, once he ordered the orange juice, now he can see this orange juice. So he immediately recognized this as the orange juice. Now he has its own data bank, or whatever we call the database of previously perceived marks, signs, sanya, and now he can distinguish among many other types of drinks. Now this is the orange juice, so he can clearly recognize it. Not a bad thing. But since he was searching for a orange juice, now he was delighted by seeing it, and he want to have it, he want to drink it, he want to satisfy himself by this. So likewise, there are many second level thoughts are arising in him because of this relationship, how he is related to this orange juice. Now, Buddha says why this kind of second level thoughts are arising, how this sort of proliferation happens in this mind. So why he is having a kind of a conceiving. So I want to have it. This is my orange juice. I can share it with my children. I can share with my friend. So likewise, we are including a self, we are including a person, I, to this whole experience, and we do sort of a conceiving. I-related, a self-centered thinking is generated in this experience. Now, suppose we are getting to some other examples. Say, when one perceives about the Creator God, now we know there are many religions which believe a Creator God. Now they may have heard it, they have read it in a book, and their teachers might have told them. So there's a kind of a perception available in the mind. Suppose somehow they represent the Creator God using some symbol, or sometimes they say they can't represent the Creator God. So if they represent it using any kind of symbol, it's a kind of a defect. So likewise, there are many preconceived ideas, many beliefs, views, and accordingly, this typical person also has a kind of a belief. If there is a sign, he is suppose going to the prayers, I mean, say a temple or kovil or church or mosque or whatever it is. So once he go there, if he believes in a God, so they assume there's a statue, a kind of a representation of the God. So once he see that, so immediately he recognize, oh, this is the Creator God. So I am under his sympathy, mercy. So I am no one. So this is kind of a relationship we are generating with the Creator God. So we think that we are simply creatures. We are very helpless. We are sinners. So likewise, we have many different views in ourselves depending on our upbringing and our various perceptions, and accordingly we relate with the Creator God. And I-centered, there's a self-centered view. So all this conceiving happens under the root of I. There's an I-centered thinking is involved here. Now, if we consider some others, now even say someone is attaining jhana. Now, suppose he is fairly successful, and he can stay several hours in a particular jhana, and it is very enjoyable, very blissful. And now probably he may be thinking about the next birth. How can I become a Brahman? How can I become a fairly radiant Brahman? So whatever it is, he may have learned from his own tradition, from his own region, from his own teachers. So have a kind of a perception about the Brahman, and now he is doing his best to attain that Brahman realm, to reborn in that Brahman realm. So now he is perceiving that. So he thinks this is a really beautiful one, this is an eternal one, this is the ultimate bliss. This is the ultimate happiness. So likewise, he has his own ideas, and depending on that, so he thinks, I can become a Brahman. I should become a Brahman. I should practice to the best to become a Brahman. I should practice my best in order to be with the Brahman, to become one with the Brahman. So likewise, so depending on the beliefs, so one can relate with the Brahman. So if we get into the, say, even to the Arupa Brahman realms, similar story, where one may attain various Arupa Jhana, and now he is practicing, mastering the Jhana, and as a result, he has some sort of a perception related to that Brahmas. So he knows that there is no Rupa, there is no material at all, there is no any kind of typical material related suffering there. So only everything is extremely mental. So I can have a very blissful life for many eons. So he has a kind of a view. So this is a typical characteristics of a Brahman realm. So he is sort of, his ambition is to become such a Brahman. So now he thinks about that Brahman realm, say Akasa Ananchayatana. So he understands what is the Akasa Ananchayatana. He has his own views. So that is why he is practicing hard to attain to that Brahman realm. So likewise, it is not, I mean, so for some of us, these may appear like very distant, but there are many yogis, especially in the Brahmanism and Hinduism. So they are dedicate their whole life for this kind of an achievement. So they have their own perception related to the Brahma realms, and they think that is the ultimate, to become one with this Brahma, and as a result they practice. And actually, if we consider Buddha's life before his attainment, or before his understanding, so he too went through various teachers. The Alara Kalama, Uddhakarama Putta, they both were masters in this Arupa realms. Alara Kalama, for example, he is a master in the third one, Akinchanjayatana. Uddhakarama Putta is a master in Nevasanyanasayachana, neither perception nor non-perception. So now these are not easy things, but they were very skillful, they were practicing hard. And they thought, so this is the ultimate. This is the best solution I can have for whole samsara. So this is the freedom of suffering. And they were trying their best to attain that level. And they have their own perception. And accordingly, they can even get reborn in that whole realm. So this is how they were relating to this Brahma realm. Now, if we get into something else, say if we see something, seen, dittham. Suppose someone is traveling by bus or one's car or whatever vehicle, and at that time he sees someone. Assume that he's a young person and now he's in his prime age. Now he sees a beautiful girl. So at that time, what is the kind of a relationship happens in the mind? Now he recognized this girl as a beautiful girl. Now that this is the typical mundane kind of recognition. So there's a kind of an attraction, there's a kind of a relationship now building up. Now he delights by this sight, and he want to talk with this girl, he want to have a relationship with this girl. And suppose maybe even to marry this girl, so whatever it is. And on the other hand, suppose another person sees the same girl. Suppose he is now an old person and he is already married, have several children. And this girl is fairly closer to his own daughter. So another beautiful girl he sees. Now the relationship is entirely different. Maybe he appreciates her beauty and he might think, she may be one of my daughter's friend. So likewise, complete the relationship is going to be entirely different. And So probably he too may happy by seeing a daughter. So this is the kind of a relationship arising. So depending on this subject and the object, the relationship, so we can understand there's a many different levels of perceptions are arising. So this is how the person is perceiving the whole world. So when a mother sees a child, his own son, say for example. So maybe suppose you are going to the college in order to pick your son from the after school, and now at that time you distinguish, clearly recognize, oh, this is my son. So after seeing him, so you were delighted. So you are quite happy. Son is safe. There was nothing has happened. He was not getting into any quarrel. He was patiently sort of studying. He was a sort of a bright student. So likewise, there are many relationships related to the son. And now you are sort of engulfed with many such views to the mind. And accordingly, you recognize. Accordingly, maybe a kind of appreciation. On the other hand, if son has made up with any issues and the teacher now complains, now when you see the son, you get really upset, you get really disappointed why he couldn't behave well and all these things. Now the whole experience differs. Now, so there may be kind of resentment towards the son, or there may be kind of a desire towards the son, attachment towards the son. So many different kind of views can arise because of this relationship. Now, if we get into the other part, say, heard, sutta. Now you hear a beautiful song. Now probably you are a music lover, so you yourself have sung many different beautiful songs. And maybe this is one of your own song. Now being broadcast by the radio. Now you clearly recognize, oh, this is my song. I sung this at this age. It's really beautiful. Still it is beautiful. It is still, many are appreciating this song. So I could have done better. How about I am sort of making it much more better? So likewise, there are many different ideas now arising in your mind because you have a kind of a relationship with this song. Suppose there's another song which is sung by someone else and you are in competition with that person at that time. And when this song is heard, probably you might even hate that song because he's the one who might have cut yourself and maybe sort of had a kind of a competition. Probably he might have won or you might have defeated. So whatever it is, so now even you probably even hate that song. You want to immediately go away from that song and because you hate it. So likewise, there are different relationships arise even to the sound, even to what you are hearing. Now, when it is considered as sensed, that means by the nose, by the tongue and the body, how one is sensed. Mutha. So this sensed, say you are sort of walking by the road and that time someone is giving you a kind of a lift. Now you are sitting on a very comfortable, very luxurious car. So while going through that, now you can have a relationship with that experience. You probably may be sort of fantasizing. How about getting this kind of a car? How about getting a loan and buying the same type of car? Or even probably you might get in a kind of a jealousy. How this person have this much of money to have this car? Probably he might have done some kind of a cheating. That's how he was able to earn this much of money. So there are many different thoughts arising in the mind. Because now, because what you have sensed, what you have experienced is really comfortable, really excellent, and you really love it, and you really delighted from that. But unfortunately, the mind is not stopped there. Mind further and further thinking about it, proliferating about it, And eye-centered thinking is erupting from there. And you maybe end up with even a kind of a dream about owning such car, and you are driving, and probably while you are in the dream, probably the other person, the driver, may be telling you, okay, you have reached the destination, because you are in a different world, a dream world. The whole that dream has started from that beautiful experience of that comfortable experience of the car. So likewise, if we consider this ditta, sutta, mutta, maybe even if we consider you are having a very delicious meal, even there you can relate with it. Only my wife can make this kind of a good meal. Only my children can have the capacities, the skill to prepare this kind of a meal. Or I want to have this meal. I want to sort of mention this to someone else, to my friend, to go to the same place, to go to the same hotel. So likewise, so depending on the taste what you have experienced, so you can relate to that experience, and accordingly you think. There's an eye-centered thinking related to this whole experience. Now, same situation to the mind. Now, when there are no any, it is, we can't say no, but when there are, say, minor seeing, hearing, sensing happens, probably there are thoughts coming to the mind. Maybe related to the past, or maybe something imaginary may be coming to the mind, and accordingly you start to think. Suppose you are a student. Now there's a thought coming about higher education, going to the university, and after that having a job and getting married, whatever it is. So those thoughts are coming to the mind, planning, dreaming, whatever it is, and then you get into that whole mind-made world and thinking, started to thinking. So this thinking can end up with a kind of an obsession even, because too much thinking can lead to sort of an obsessive thinking, and you can't stop it now. Too much thinking. And sometimes it can get into a kind of a depression, because you are thinking about really kind of a pandemic, and everybody is now threatened, whole world is threatened, whole world in the sort of a turmoil, and many people are dying. So you are thinking, thinking, thinking. Ultimately, you can even become depressed. Because there is an eye to protect, there's a person to protect, I need to get protected. There are many others are dying, how can I get protected? So there's a disease being spread. So likewise, so we start to think, and too much thinking can lead to depression. So likewise, this thinking, how we relate to this outside world, and what are the thoughts popping up in the mind with respect to that outside world, with respect to the present situation, and how we relate with that. Are we able to handle it? Are we able to control it? Are we able to sort of neglect it and come back to ourselves and come back to a kind of a positive thinking? Or are we become a sort of a victim of that negative thinking? So even the positive thinking can become sort of obsessive. So you are thinking about a really beautiful mansion. Now you are living in a really sort of a rented apartment, and now you are thinking of having a real beautiful condominium. Now you are planning. So it is beautiful, it's very expensive, there's many security plans, and you are getting a loan and building it, and you are inviting your friends, having a great grand party, and many things you are thinking, proliferating. And ultimately, it is simply a dream, simply a plan, simply a fantasy. Now, likewise, when it comes to the thoughts, to the mind, so many such kind of thinking, eye-centered thinking happens. And this is the typical world. And this is not something external, this is not something alien to us, but this is how we all are thinking. And if it gets into unity and diversity, that is where, say, Brahmanism, say they have the thought that there's a kind of a small self here. And if one attain to some extent spiritual development, then one can become united with the big self, ultimate self. So how one can become ekatta, united with this unity? So this is a kind of a perception available in one's mind. So I am not powerful by being alone, being a small self. How about I become that? How about I become that mighty God, mighty self? So likewise, we have a kind of a belief. So this is what we are being taught in the church or in the, say, in the Covil or whatever it is. And accordingly, our thinking pattern is conditioned. And whenever we see a God's picture or statue, then we start to think. So there are a lot of faith arising, a lot of tears are coming. I want to become him, I want to become that, I want to be united with that. So you even practice, you attain certain jhana, sort of a blissful experience happen, and now you are explaining it to someone else. I have attained to this kind of a very beautiful experience. I have become that. I was really united. There is nothing else. I was that. Still, I is there. I-centered thinking is there. So we are conceiving. We are basically manjana. It's a kind of a conceiving. So we have a kind of a belief. Our mind is trained or conditioned to think there is a sort of an almighty experience, extremely beautiful experience, and how about attaining that experience? And maybe, luck by chance, you are able to have a very blissful experience, and you relate it to that as that. You relate to that experience as that, becoming that blissful experience as the unity with the Brahman, unity with that mighty self or big self. So this is how we are basically interpreting the whole experience. Then how about Nibbana? Now, is it someone else's Nibbana, or is it the same Nibbana that we are talking as Buddhists? Buddha has included Nibbana also to this 24 concepts. Now, this is where very challenging, how we relate Nibbana. So what is the perception we have about Nibbana? Are we thinking about it as kind of a world attained after the death? So sometimes in Sri Lanka, for example, whenever a person passed away, so we put a banner, may he attain Nibbana. So is it an attainment one can attain after the death? So can he attain Nibbana while, can't he attain Nibbana while living? Is Nibbana a beautiful experience? Is Nibbana a kind of a place where we all are reborn? And the previous Buddhas are there, all the previous Arahants are there, and we also are reborn to that Nibbana. So is this the idea we have? Or Nibbana is kind of a like Arupa realm. There is no rupa, there is no material, but it's kind of a consciousness, perception is there, so we become that. Is it the Nibbana that we are talking? Or is it kind of a complete extinction? There was a self, there was a person, and that person become no one. It's complete extinction. So is it the Nibbana? So we may have many different views about Nibbana. And we are reading many books, and we heard Nibbana is the ultimate bliss, that is the best happiness. So many different appreciation is there related to the Nibbana, and we aspire to attain Nibbana. So we wish everyone to attain Nibbana. It is so blissful, free from suffering and free from impermanent, and its complete satisfaction is there. So may all beings attain Nibbana. So we wish. So we have a kind of a perception about the Nibbana. So that is also a perception. So our mind, from our young age, being conditioned about Nibbana. So this is Nibbana. We all as Buddhists, one day, have to attain Nibbana. So if we do some unwholesome activities, we can't attain Nibbana. So we have to protect Sila, we have to develop Samadhi, we have to develop Panya in order to attain Nibbana. So we have kind of a concept, kind of a view, something called Nibbana, and now we want to attain that Nibbana. Now this is how the typical mundane person thinking or imagining about Nibbana. Now this is not different from other concepts, the same story. This is still become a concept because he hasn't experienced Nibbana, but he has a kind of a projected view about Nibbana. He has heard from someone else. He has heard from many stories. He has heard maybe through suttas or jataka stories or whatever it is. And he therefore has his own view about Nibbana. And he wants to attain that Nibbana. When someone is talking about some Dhamma sermon or delivering a Dhamma sermon or speaking about Nibbana, so he is now imagining, may I attain Nibbana? May I also experience that Nibbana? So likewise, many different views are arising in this person's mind with respect to Nibbana, related to Nibbana. And probably, sometimes, suppose he now practicing some meditation, at that time, everything happened fairly favorable way and he was able to attain kind of a concentration. And probably he can even misinterpret this blissful concentrated state as Nibbana. So I was practicing and at that time I attained Nibbana. Now I am a Sotapanna. Now I am an Arahant because I experienced Nibbana. So one can relate like that. One can interpret that blissful experience as Nibbana. Because one has a kind of a projected view, kind of a perception, and while practicing, one's mind becomes really happy, blissful, and one can relate that blissful experience as Nibbana. So there could be such interpretations. And so one may even argue with someone else. So someone else say, no, no, it is not the Nibbana. It is simply a kind of a jhana. And this Nibbana is not a jhana. It is entirely different thing. You have to practice vipassana in order to attain jhana. Sorry, attain Nibbana. You only have practice samatha. Therefore, it cannot be Nibbana. So another person is arguing with us. Sort of he is trying to disprove our claim. Now we get into quarrel because I am confident that I attain Nibbana. Now I am an Arahant. So you are now arguing. Now many different quarrels, many different arguments can happen because we have a kind of a preconceived idea about Nibbana. Now this is the kind of realms of complexity. Now everything becomes really complex. So many books are available about Nibbana, so we read many books about Nibbana, so many perceptions, many ideas, many views. And another person now have the same situation. And there are many sort of mismatching. So we can get into argument. He tell one Nibbana, another one tell another Nibbana. Theravadins tell one type of Nibbana, Mahayana. Maybe people talking about another type of Nibbana. Vajrayana people may be telling another type of Nibbana. Or maybe they are talking about the same subject. Everyone says, even though our beliefs are different, ultimately we attain the same Nibbana. So many different complex views can arouse even among Buddhists about Nibbana. So this is the true story. So we as human beings, we have our own kind of likes and dislikes, and we have heard many different sermons and read many books, and our own cultural inclinations are there, cultural attachments are there, accordingly, we have our own Sri Lankan Nibbana. Maybe Indians may have their Indian Nibbana. Maybe Mahayana, maybe they have their own Nibbana. Maybe in US, they have American Nibbana. So likewise, so we may be even to sort of include that kind of a nationalism. And we can even get into fight with Theravada Nibbana is the best Nibbana. Mahayana Nibbana is not the best one. It's an inferior Nibbana. You can't attain Nibbana by Mahayana practice. Only Theravadins can attain the proper Nibbana that Buddha has mentioned. So about Nibbana, we can have many different views, and we can even look down another person, or we can even put ourselves down and think that our one is wrong, so I am now changing my religion because someone else's Nibbana appears really beautiful, really blissful, much more beautiful than my Nibbana. So others are really marketing their Nibbana, so I am now giving up my poor Nibbana and now want to have that rich Nibbana. So likewise, as Buddhists, we have many views about Nibbana, and we can get into many arguments about Nibbana. So therefore, Buddha included Nibbana also to this list, because when one doesn't have proper understanding, when one doesn't have proper view, so one can have many different wrong views about Nibbana. So we can summarize therefore here, when it comes to a mundane person, a worldly kind of putujjana, ordinary untaught person, so his mind is confused, his mind is get into many conceiving, eye-centered views, eye-centered thinking. As a result, he is not free from thinking, he is not free from conceiving, he is always proliferating, he is always in doubts, he is always in perplexities, and he is always arguing with someone, always thinking that my view is correct, others' views are wrong, my view is the best, others' views are inferior, others' views are wrong. So likewise, so depending on this kind of a situation, the whole world is entangled. Whole world is quarreling each other. Many different religions are fighting each other, looking down each other, because they think that my view is the best, someone else's view is bad, inferior. So this is the typical world view. So Buddha, taking 24 concepts, giving the sort of the overview of the whole many different kinds of view a typical worldly person may have. We also may have this kind of many different views time to time, because we are not arahants, so we also can get into many different views, and it can be included among any of these 24 concepts. And time to time, we are, say, in the morning you are thinking about your children, so you have that type of a view, and now we are getting to the job. And there, say, someone is challenging. Someone has become sort of a threat to you. Now another type of view. And then, say, you are coming back home. Now you have to go to the supermarket. Now you have other types of view. You are seeing many, 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 many different commodities. And you have many other views. And now you coming back home. You see your home. And you are delighted by seeing your home. This is my home. I want to go my home. So, and you come back home and you are experiencing, say, happiness, and you are delighted by that happiness. Or sometimes you come back home and your children were, get into a trouble, or they had a fight and you have to sort of sort it out, and you really further become depressed, or your wife or husband has made up another sort of relationship and you get into upset. So many different ways in daily life, so we are experiencing. So this whole experience we can include, we can analyze by considering these kind of an analysis, these kind of 24 concepts. And I mean, we can include our own experience fairly into this model, and accordingly we can analyze our own way of thinking. So I think this is enough for the typical ordinary person's view, and I now like to open the session for questions.